This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Well, good morning, and it's a Monday morning, as you can tell. We're having a little technical difficulty, but we got it all straightened out one more time. Boy, if it's not one thing, it's 10 more, and that does tend to drive a person crazy, but that's part of life, I guess. Anyway, we're back up and running, and everything's good. You're listening to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. It's Monday over here, too. What a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens around the world, but, things happen, and, sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad, and sometimes you just... Anyway, so...
They have daylight savings time, and we just set our clocks back an hour, right?
Correct.
What I'm waiting for is daylight savings weight, so that I can set my scale back 10 pounds.
Well, I might have to set mine back a little bit more, but such is life, such is life. So this campaign that's been going on 72 years, I believe, something like that, for president, comes to an end tomorrow. And what is your gut feeling about it all?
Well, I think one of the pundits kind of summed it up for me. The things that won Trump his primary, the tactics that won the primary for Trump, I think sank him as a candidate. The wall, the Hispanic controversy. The name calling, the issues with women, with Fiorina, I think all of those issues that won him the vote in early on, I think have not served him well in the general election. I think Trump's going to go down, and I think it's a real loss for the country. But I guess that would be my prediction.
Well, as somebody said, there's two sides to every coin, I guess. And I think I'm taking the other side of the coin. I think it's going to be I'm always optimistic, or try to be optimistic. And I feel like there's going to be a surprise coming. And I think the election is close. But I'm concerned about Florida. There are a lot of Mexicans that have voted in Florida, but we don't know which way they voted, just have voted. We think it would be for Hillary, but we don't know for sure. And beyond that, I think there are some other big, big sleeper states that people that... no matter how many dead the Democrats dig up and have vote, I think the Republicans may be out in force like we've never seen them before. People are sick. They see the cover-up that our government does on Clinton and her lawlessness, her illegal activities and so forth. And I just wouldn't... I think it's going to go one of two ways. I really think that Trump has a better than 50-50 chance of blowing her out of the saddle. And this thing with Comey, and I wanted to bring it up. How do you feel about that? How can you go? It took well over a year to go through 50-some-odd thousand emails, and yet in 7 days he can go through 650,000.
Well, apparently the FBI developed some software that allowed them to call out all of the duplicates really fast. And then I don't think they were looking at the total of 660. I think it was much less than that that they were actually concerned with.
Well, let me ask this.
And then,
for anything that said State Department on it to be on Wiener's laptop should be illegal. I don't care if it's ordering toilet paper for the State Department bathrooms. It shouldn't be on Wiener's laptop, should it?
No, I totally agree.
So isn't that illegal? Isn't that illegal?
And I think that's on Uma. I don't think that's on Hillary. I think Uma is not free of charges.
Oh, what about the fact that, so it's Uma, but where did that email originate from? Hillary's house. And did you hear the other thing about Ms. Clinton and her maid?
Yes.
And what do you think of that?
I did. She asked the maid to send some classified emails or to send some emails for her.
Well, to check her fax machine and then to forward the faxes to her. You know, what kind of stupid bitch is this that even has the audacity to run for president?
Well, yes, I agree.
Hadn't she walked up to you and just slapped you in the face and said, "You ain't worth anything. I'm much better than you"?
Well, I was reading somebody's email on Facebook or a Facebook post, and this person said that she didn't really care about Hillary's email scandal. She just wanted somebody that would protect her and make her feel comfortable. And Hillary did that, so. You know, she didn't care about the email issue.
And didn't care about the four killed in Benghazi either?
Well, she didn't bring that up. I mean, there's so many issues that Hillary's carrying around. It's like, you know, which one do you want to talk about today? There's so many issues. But we'll see, you know. I'm hoping that your prediction is much better than mine.
It's basically on faith that we can't keep going on like we have for the last few years, and I don't know. I have no crystal ball. I have a bunch. There are a few people that one in particular that does a show on the station that's totally anti-Trump. Calls him every name under the sun, which I don't agree with. You know, I guess it's coming down to the point. If Trump was so bad, then, you know, Hillary would have brought out the worst of the worst. And if you really look at it, the worst thing that's come out is that one locker room tape. And the fact that she has been able to say, oh, he has no respect for women. Somehow, looking at his wife, I would say he has quite a respect for women. And
well, there's been something like a dozen women that have come out with complaints about some form of sexual harassment against Trump.
Yeah, and have you noticed that most of those have recanted at some point or the other?
Well, I noticed that they kind of got quiet.
Yeah. Particularly when he said, I'm going to sue for defamation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it kind of quieted down.
And the timing was always very interesting. And the money they got was always very interesting. Yeah, you know. And let's see, there was another killing. I don't know, did you notice that one too?
No, I didn't.
In the Clinton campaign. Yeah, there was another suicide, you might say. But, yeah, you can check that out. You might just check out recent Clinton associate suicide. And this had to do with the part of the emails. I just, quite frankly, I'm beyond thoughts of anybody that could vote for her. I'm not saying Trump is the perfect candidate, but I think he's far above anything else we've got, and I just can't imagine anybody voting for Hillary Clinton and supporting her.
It's kind of interesting. You Google Clinton associate suicides,
and they just keep coming and coming.
There's a whole freaking page of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Now, here's one. Somebody was going to testify against her.
That's it.
They were found shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, suicide.
Suicide.
That's the one. Wasn't it just within the last couple of weeks? I believe.
Well, you know, I'm not seeing a date on it here. Give me a minute. According to this article, we know that there are at least 46 people from the Clinton world who have died under mysterious circumstances. 46 people!
Doesn't that say something? Like you and I have talked about.
I don't even have 46 friends.
Well, you and I have talked about this in the past, that if you take, okay, you're saying 46, so you take 10% of that. That's five people that have died that have known the Clintons and worked for them, some, or had some association with them, some shape, form, or fashion. Wouldn't that tell you something?
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
With that, we're going to have to take our break. I apologize that we had a little technical problem at the start, but when you're working with equipment and you start up and it doesn't work, well, so be it. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. My apology again. At the start of the show, we had a little technical problem and some equipment failed, but we added our backup equipment, so we were able to get back up and going right quick. But, as we said, things happen. You know, another thing that has come out, Dan, is the fact that, and again, I can't understand the taxpayer. You and I work hard. Well, one of us does anyway. You work hard to make your money and pay your taxes. And it just drives me nuts that the way our tax dollars and contributions are given away. The foundation, the Clinton Foundation, high and mighty Clinton Foundation that's going to save the world and vaccinate the world and do this and do that. You know, come to find out, and Hillary had said at one point that 90% of the dollars that come in go out for charity's sake. Well, come to find out it's more like 6% of what comes in. 94% goes in travel expenses and salaries and the Clintons' pocket. For example, old Ugly Chelsea's wedding was paid for by the foundation. Chelsea, which this is illegal as hell, is being paid a salary to campaign for her mother. That is illegal as hell in a 501, which the Clinton Foundation is. What's your feeling?
Well, you know, I was hoping that Comey was investigating the foundation as well. And I think he is. I think the foundation is under scrutiny. I guess that's not going to come to light until after the election. But, you know, for the foundation to pay for Chelsea Clinton's wedding seems a little odd. For them to only be using, what did you say, 7%?
6% of the money that comes into the foundation is actually used for charity. 94% is used for, quote, unquote, expenses.
Yeah, that would seem to be pretty high. I know there's an organization that tracks 501c3 giving and versus expenses. I would think the Clinton Foundation is right at the top of the least efficient foundation. It's like everything else. It's controversial. It may not be quite illegal, but it's not legal. It's just kind of on that line that makes you think, wow, this woman makes bad decisions and her life is really messed up. It's not one thing. It's a whole group of things. And I think if a level-headed person evaluated all of the innuendos and cover-ups and lies, they couldn't vote for Hillary. They couldn't go there, even if they couldn't prove it. I mean, it's like there's just too much gray area in Hillary. Too much. Can't accept it. I want somebody that you know. They're either good or bad.
Yeah.
And Hillary just seems to always walk that line, and nobody ever quite steps on the issue like they should and comes out with proof. Or maybe there's proof and we just don't look at it. It's really messed up. And going into a presidency, she's not going to change. You know, these controversies are going to follow her, and she's going to create new controversies.
Yeah, one lie to cover another lie.
It's a real messed up tenure in office.
Yeah, and she's obviously a liar, and she will use one lie to try to cover up another lie, and on and on and on. And I just, well, let me ask: can our country take it? Are we strong enough to take what's about? If she wins, what would happen next? Or are we at the point that it's going to take meeting in the street at sundown?
Well, there was one poll that was just taken, and, you know, parents want their children to marry somebody of like religion or like race. The big thing now is they want their children to marry somebody in the same political party. You know, a Republican mom and dad don't want the daughter to marry a Democrat at any cost. And, you know, if we're divided, and Hillary's we're just going to be more and more divided. I think our country probably can take a little bit more of it. We're a strong country, and I don't think we've quite decided to be aggressive in our differences, although that leaks out every once in a while. But it's definitely the Trump fans aren't going to go away. And there are a bunch of them, obviously, and they're very vocal.
And, you know, I think the interesting thing about the Trump fans, you can pretty well look at a Democrat or a Clinton fan, and they all, you know, you can pretty well say they're all from the same, cut from the same mold or cut from the same cloth or whatever. But you look at a Trump fan or supporter, and I don't think we've seen them all. I think there are a bunch of them that just have kept their cool and not said anything. But I think they're the most diverse folks in the country. Trump was supposed to be at a rally, and I can't remember where, this weekend, yesterday, or night before last, or whatever. And he was supposed to have the rally. It was supposed to start at 9:30. And for whatever reason, you know, flying, whatever, he didn't make it to the rally until 12 o'clock, midnight. His supporters were going wild waiting on him. And when he showed up, you'd have thought it was 10 o'clock in the morning. They didn't care that he was 2 hours late, 2.5 hours late. They were there waiting for him, and it wasn't 100 people, it was thousands. And you tell me that that's not, I don't know, I see something in Trump and his supporters that are universal. They may have $10 or they may have $10,000 in their pocket, but they're out supporting Trump. I don't think Hillary has that.
What has happened to the Tea Party? Has it been replaced by the Trump Party?
I would say that's a fair analogy, yeah.
Yeah, the Trump fans are passionate. I give them that. The rallies have been impressive. They've been loud.
And not bad loud. They've just been loud, very supportive. They haven't raised any hell. They haven't dumped any cars or, you know. They've just been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And again, doesn't that say something?
Well, it says that this man has caught the imagination of a lot of Americans. And they see something in him. And it doesn't feel like, well, I don't know. Let's talk about this for a moment. There's been a lot said in the election that the American people aren't voting for somebody, they're voting against somebody. And do you think that's the case with most Trump supporters? Are they just voting against Hillary, or are they passionate for Trump?
You know, and this is strictly conjecture. I have no way of proving it, no way of knowing it, really. I would say that there is, and I don't know that it may be 50-50. I don't know. I would say there's a large group that are voting against Hillary that will vote for Trump. And I think that's probably the group that will put him over the top and have him win this election. With that being said, there's that other percentage that are just right out dedicated to him. Like what he says, they're sick and tired of the Clintons, they're sick and tired of the swamp in Washington, and they're ready for somebody that has the gonads to come up and say something and do something about it, and they think Trump's their man that's going to do this. So I think you have the people that are voting against Hillary, and then you have the people also that are very staunch supporters of the message that Trump has brought. And I think, you know, someone told me, and I have a ton of respect for that person, that they at one time didn't much care for Trump and his family, and but the more he listened to the kids and the more he listened to the family, the more he respected Trump and realized that this guy was a good guy, not a bad guy like he's been made out to be. And again, this is not saying that Trump is perfect. None of us are. I only heard of one perfect person in my life. But I think a lot of people have come around to, I think they may have started out, well, I can't vote for Hillary, so I guess I'll bite my tongue and vote for Trump. Now a lot of people are saying, I can't vote for Hillary, and I think Trump might be the answer. So I think there's a mix there.
Well, and was Trump this popular in the primary?
I think we've seen, again, sort of two sides to the coin. I go back and I wonder, could Trump have been sweet and innocent and Gentile and made it through the primaries and won? He chose a different route. He chose to degrade, to put down everybody, lying Ted, little Marco, sound asleep Ben Carson, and lifeless Jeb Bush. You know, was this right or wrong? Maybe he knew something that we don't know, and that was the only way he saw getting to where he needed to be, and that was through the primaries. Once he got into the race, he tried that same bit again to an extent, and then he would, whenever he was attacked, he would attack back, and that was costing him, and he realized that he needed to be, quote, end quote, air quotes, more presidential. And once he got online, I think he's done a pretty good job.
Well, it's been amazing for somebody that's not a politician, for somebody that's never had to organize a political campaign, he's done pretty well.
He's done well.
And for somebody that doesn't have a lot of other people out speaking for him, and for somebody whose own party has, in some part, turned away from him, he's done pretty well.
But now they're coming back. You know, let's take a break and continue this right after this. We'll be back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We'll be back right after this.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week for a full hour of all the best and latest information on how you can get the skills and equipment you need to protect the ones that you love.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio, talking about the election and I don't know if I'm glad it's over with or not. I'll be quite frank that if Clinton wins, I think our country is in deep trouble. I think I think it's as bad. It will be worse than it's been with Obama, and she will try to get a single-payer plan in for insurance. Hopefully Congress will have enough guts to block it. But I think it could be a devastating 4 years if Clinton is elected. I hope people will pray about it and make a wise decision. You know, which brings me to another question I had and what you feel about it. Obviously, she has called upon Obama to help in the campaign because she was, she's really not a good campaigner. And if you listen to her speeches, and she's been throwing rocks at Trump about not having anything to say. Well, he's come out with programs. Have you heard her once come out with a program? All I hear is that she keeps throwing rocks at Trump. And no real specifics about, well, if I'm elected, I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Isn't that interesting?
I haven't heard any great programs that she's coming out with. With that being said, I wanted to ask you, you know, it costs between $180,000 and $200,000 an hour to fly Air Force One. Do you think it's right that the taxpayer, and that's only Air Force One, that doesn't include the C-130 that goes ahead, that doesn't include all the transportation for the Secret Service, that doesn't include many, 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 many other expenses. Probably every stop costs the taxpayer well over $1 million for Obama. Do you think it's right for a sitting president to campaign for someone at taxpayers' expense?
Well, I don't know if it's right or not. I think all presidents have done that. I don't think Obama started it.
They've gone to fundraisers. I don't think Bush was out on the campaign trail for Romney, was he?
I don't recall. I think you're right. I don't think he was.
You know, and I can see, I have no problem, I can see a sitting president campaigning for his party's nominee if the nominee or that party pays the expenses. Why should the taxpayer, why should you and I pay for Obama or any president? If Bush was, then why were we doing it? I don't have a problem with the sitting president campaigning. I have a problem with the taxpayer paying for it.
Well, I guess if you have a problem there, you really have a problem, considering Michelle has been out probably more than Barack. Now, how is Michelle traveling? She's not traveling coach.
Oh, no. You're 100% right, and I disagree with that. Anytime, if I don't have a problem with her campaigning, I have a problem with the taxpayers paying for it. I can
you
see.
You don't think the DNC is picking up the ticket?
You gotta be kidding. You want to make a little bet on that one, Bozo?
So you know, Barack and Michelle are young people, relatively. And even when they leave the White House, what are they going to do? They're going to have a lot of years of opportunity. And that's probably why they're pushing so hard for Hillary, is they want their years of opportunity to be
enhanced,
you know, wealthy, money-making opportunity.
Sure.
And Hillary is a moneymaker.
And she's crooked enough that she'll do whatever is necessary to take care of them. You get me elected, you do this, and don't worry, brother, I'll take care of you in the end. Yeah, it's sickening.
I still think Michelle is pushing because she wants to be president. I think Michelle would like a crack at the high seats in 4, 8, and 12 years.
My God, are there countries that she hadn't visited on the taxpayer dollars?
No, she's been around. I don't know what else she would gain from being president, but...
Isn't Michelle the one that said, "I hate this country"?
Isn't she? Yeah, I think so.
Why would I vote for that bitch?
Well, drain the swamp.
It needs to be drained and dried massively.
Tell me again about Comey's connection with the Clinton.
His brother is an attorney that I don't know whether his law offices also have an accounting department, but they said he is an attorney, but he is the accountant for the Clinton Foundation, or his company is, which he owns. So there's a little. Incest, would you say, or you know, it's just mind-boggling. And you know, I want to give Trump credit. He is pegged. He might not have done it the most graceful way, the most PC way, the most whatever way, but look at the things that he's pegged. Look at the dishonesty. Look at the thing with Comey, draining the swamp. He knows that he's said it exactly right. It is a swamp, and swamps stink. And Washington, D.C., our capital, stinks with things like Comey and his brother, Wiener and Huma and Podesta and the connections there and the cross connections and the whole thing just reeks of corruption. And I give Trump credit for identifying it and naming it. And I think he's done an admirable job of calling it out.
Yeah. So you say it's his brother. I'm not finding the connection here. I'm still...
Well, put in James Comey's brother or Jim Comey's brother. If you're Googling it, I can assure you I didn't make it up. And it didn't come from Facebook. This came from a news source.
Well, I get all my hot information from Facebook, and I'm always disappointed when almost none of them prove to be true.
You still haven't been able to get it?
No.
Oh, yeah. What I have to work with here is just...
Yeah. Oh, Peter Comey. Who is Peter Comey?
He's a friend of Wiener's.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, here it is. All right. It came right up.
I've got to read this, I guess, to understand
here,
it.
Exposed FBI Director James Comey Clinton Foundation connection, and this is James Comey Foundation with brother Peter Comey, who works at the law firm that does Clinton Foundation, whatever. I can't read my telephone fast enough. But yes, it's Peter Comey and it's his brother, and they... You know, it ain't Washington.
I don't know. It's an interesting connection. I'm going to have to go back and read this, I guess, after the program, because there's a lot of information here, and I'm not digesting it very quickly. I apologize.
Well, burp and keep going.
Yeah. Hey, you know, at the beginning of the program, I was going to challenge you to make this an election-free hour, and I didn't, and I guess I failed miserably.
You did. And what
else we would talk about if it wasn't the election, you know?
price of rice in China, or the price of oil keeps going down. $44 a barrel?
$44 a barrel. Went down $4.63. Now, that's a pretty big fall.
It's a good fall. And the reason being?
You think it's election related?
I don't know. I don't think so, no, quite frankly. I think it's related to the towel heads and them controlling the market, quite frankly.
And hey, I do have a non-election story. Do we have time for it before the next break?
If it's no, we probably don't. If it's a minute and a half story, yes. If not, then...
It's a minute and a half story. I'll fit it in. And you're a Texan. You'll appreciate this. But General Santa Anna made life miserable for a few Texans at the Alamo, right?
Yeah.
Well, a few years later, down in the battle in Mexico, the Illinois State National Guard was down there fighting against Santa Anna and his troops. And I guess they turned up the heat on Santa Anna because he left, he abandoned his leg in a carriage along with a chicken lunch and a few thousand dollars. And so the Illinois National Guard claimed possession of Santa Anna's prosthetic leg. And it's now in a museum in Illinois, and Mexico is wanting it back.
So, I didn't know he had a prosthesis.
I think that's kind of a funny story, and it gives us a break in the election cycle here, but Santa Anna lost his leg.
Yeah, where did he lose it at?
Well, in a carriage.
I got all that, but where did he, why did he lose a leg? Why was he with only one leg?
I think he got hit by a cannonball, but it wasn't during the Alamo.
Oh, okay. Well, with that being said, we'll get back to Santa Anna right after a couple of messages. You're listening to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back after this.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show. Classic Car Show, the Dan and Dave Show. I I'm sorry I had my mind on Saturday, Dan, but the Dan and Dave Show. You know, I'll bring us off of politics for a minute, because this really, it bothered me, and it's going to sound like it bothered me for the wrong reason, but I think my reason and logic are still right, and what's been happening is wrong. I was watching the news the other day as the Secretary of the Navy had just commissioned a new warship. And I can't think of the name of it, but as the reporter kept going on, and to my knowledge, it may or may not be true, but the Secretary of the Navy is the first gay person to hold that office. I don't know of any other gay that has held an office like Secretary of Navy or anything else, but I certainly could be wrong on that. But this really doesn't have anything to do with gay or not gay, but I didn't realize until the reporter kept going that our last few ships that this guy has commissioned as Secretary of the Navy have either been named after civil rights leaders or after gay individuals. Now, has nothing to do with gays or civil rights. What this has to do with is history and naming our warships after people that have been highly respected, mostly have been in the military at some point or the other, served our country to make our country better, not to break it up or not to split it up. And quite frankly, I was very upset to find that this son of a bitch has been naming our warships, my tax dollar and your tax dollars, for civil rights people and or gays. And I'm sorry, I find that totally offensive and was very upset about it.
Well, that's an issue that's kind of skipped my notice. I do notice that the new ship is called the Zumwalt, and I believe Zumwalt was a Navy admiral, wasn't he?
Yep.
Admiral Zumwalt.
Yep. He directed very... He was the admiral in charge of the Navy in the South Pacific or in the Pacific during Vietnam, and he was the one that ordered Agent Orange to be sprayed, and as it happened, his son, I think, was a captain or...
Oh, his son.
And
yeah.
His son got sprayed by Agent Orange, and then shortly thereafter, not too long after, wound up with cancer and died. And I didn't know Zumwalt, which you could imagine that, but I did at the time have some folks that were fairly close to him. He was in a business that I'd bought some stock in, and it just, as you can imagine, ripped him anew. And it was all in all a very sad story. But he obviously didn't mean to get his son sprayed, but that was what happened. I don't know that. I can't say that that's the latest one that this guy has done, Dan. I can't come up with the name of the ship or the war.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about this new gun system.
Well, we can do that, too.
The gun system is present on the Zumwalt, and it's called the AGS, Advanced Gun System, which I thought was a very clever name.
And this
but apparently
is
the ammunition is a little costly.
And this is the two guns on these ships, on the warships?
Yeah.
And you want to tell us how much a round costs?
Well, the Pentagon bought 150 rounds for $113 million for 150 shots. So by my calculation, that's around $800,000
per round.
Round.
You know, to me, that is just absolutely bizarre. However, a smart bomb cost $1 million. The Tomahawk missiles cost $1 million a piece. And we go through them like it's water.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, this will shoot around for 80 miles is the distance. And I guess it will put a round through a window at 80 miles. It's very, very accurate.
Just as long as you've picked the right window.
The right yes, the right window would help.
It might be accurate, but if you got the wrong prints in that room, might not be good. So it would depend on tremendous intelligence, which we seem to lack many times. But we bought 150 rounds. My suggestion is don't go out testing the rounds too frequently. We can't afford it.
Well, I thought there was something called a rail gun that was supposed to be the next great weapon for ships. And I thought that they would shoot much further than 80 miles. Now, 80 miles is a long ways. And how do you sight a weapon at 80 miles? It's strange, isn't it? They've got some technology here that's pretty cute technology.
Cute.
But we've probably given the same technology to the Chinese, so. And the Chinese can make those rounds for $8.50 each.
Well, they got it just by Hillary's emails.
Yeah, probably.
You know, they didn't even have to pay a spy to get it. They probably just checked her emails and at the right time found out all about those missiles.
I'm still puzzled, getting back to the election, I'm still puzzled that we don't see more yard signs. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be real interesting to hear people talk about. And so far, I haven't heard anybody except here on the Dan and Dave show really talk about it. In my neighborhood, I've got one of each. But that's all. And there's dozens and dozens of local signs put up for local elections, city elections. But on the national side, nothing. And on the national side, there's no car stickers, no bumper stickers.
No. And, you know, we some other friends and I were talking about exactly the same thing. Our neighborhood, there is absolutely zero yard signs, nothing, not even local people running. And maybe it's because I'm not a member of the Homeowners Association. Maybe it's that they were banned or something and nobody sent me the memo. But there are no yard signs. And like you said, no bumper stickers. I think part of the bumper sticker thing is that people are pretty hostile on both sides of the fence. And they didn't want to put a bumper sticker on their car and have their car keyed. And I think that would happen, so they're just taking the stand that I'm not going to take a stand. I'm not going to put one
on. I think that's exactly the reason. And maybe the on the house, too. They don't want their house vandalized. Heck of a deal, huh?
You know, it's I've never been a big yard sign person, personally, but that's just my own thing, but you know, it's a sad state of affair when you can't. That's Article One of the. That's the First Amendment, you know, and these two candidates have basically been able to destroy freedom of speech. In a way.
Yep, and whichever one is elected, it's not over.
You know, and this is only my opinion, but of the two, it's my feeling that Trump could do more in uniting the country than Clinton could ever think about. I could be 1,000% wrong, I may be, but my opinion, my gut feeling tells me that Trump would do a lot better job than Clinton. I think she wants diversity. I think she's shown that, and I think she would be a marvel at dividing our country even more. With that being said, though, Dan, guess what? It's time to put the plug in the jug and get out of here.
Well, let's go. Let's get something else done here. It's Monday. The day is early. We've got a lot of time left.
And I bet I know what we'll talk about next week.
You got it.
Take care, my good friend.
I'll see you here.
Take care.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.